11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Don't forget our training camp coverage on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Geico. Switch and save, get more with Geico. We will get to the trash of the day in about 18 minutes or so. A reminder, we're also off early today. Royals try to get a sweep of the Nationals. It's a day game out at the K, so we will hand things off to Vern at noon today for his on-deck show. I do want to pass along a little bit of NFL news, just an update from a few teams' camps. Unfortunately, we don't know the severity, but unfortunately, quarterback injury in Cleveland. Adam Schefter just putting out that Shedeur Sanders was unable to finish the final portion of practice today.
With an oblique injury.
Yes, with an oblique injury. We don't know the severity. Obviously not good news, but something to keep an eye on after having a nice preseason debut last Friday night.
That James Cook got paid. Those are the big NFL storylines today. He got his, what, 4 years, yeah. $48 million, $30 million guaranteed. It's still funny how small a running back contract looks
compared,
like.
Compared, yeah. Now, it means, with Sanders at least, going back to his injury real quick, it means, you know, he's not going to play Saturday most likely. And so it's another preseason game, though, that he won't have an opportunity to play. And so I don't know what that means for you know, the likelihood of him making the roster versus practice squad. Or is he an IR guy now or Pupless guy? Yeah. I mean, we'll see. But that's an injury. And then, yes, James Cook did get paid today.
You do realize what's going on with Drew, right? Drew is staring down the barrel of turning 30. And it is clearly affecting him. Like, that's, I'm just like...
Selfies.
It's pretty clear. He's trying to get in the best shape of his life. He's trying to learn a new language. I think it's pretty clear.
I'm trying to get back in shape to where I was. You know, that's what it is.
Pretty clear that Drew is staring down the barrel of turning 30, and I think it matters.
You think he's freaking out?
I think he's freaking out.
But I think
Drew's freaking out about turning 30.
This is the thing. I haven't thought, like, all of what
you haven't thought about all the things you're doing. I'm telling you, it's because you're turning 30.
All of what I'm doing.
A lot of things that have happened in the last month and a half, man.
All of what I'm doing, there's nothing in mind of me turning 30. Like 30, like the whole thing of. Like, I'm not instinctively thinking of that. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. But I guess it all kind of lines up together.
You're learning a new language. You're trying to get in shape. You're
the wife's learning.
You're taking selfies
too, though, so
with
good.
Your shirt off. You're doing things you hadn't done previous months.
I'm more comfortable in my own
just
skin.
Just weeks before you turn 30.
Like, because part of okay.
It happens, man. It's all right.
Before I posted the photo, though, I was like, should I even post this? And I was like, screw it. I'm going to do it. You know, like, why not?
I'm only in my 20s once. That's what you said before you posted it.
I did not.
Right before that photo got snapped.
It does fit everything.
Text line's asking,
though.
Is he wearing his wedding ring? He's a little young for a midlife crisis. LOL.
Are you looking at sports cars?
I am not looking at a sports car. Believe me, if I was, that'd be great. I would have sent you guys a photo by now of a car that I was looking at if I was doing that.
Go to Shawnee Mission 4. Get yourself a Mustang, man. Convertible. Mustang convertible. Be good to go.
I had that convertible Mustang in the middle of dead of winter.
That's right. That's right.
Not the best time for me.
Did you pop on the interstate and just fire that thing up and just take it?
My kids would make me put the top down if we were driving the neighborhoods anything above 40 degrees. Demanded it. So we rode with the top down a lot.
For sure.
I love
Someone says the bad boy Drew era we're entering.
I'm going to start wearing like biker jackets.
Text line says Drew did not answer the question. I don't know. I don't think he's wearing it. I didn't see it. I think he lost it, honestly.
In the last 3 months, he's like changed his hairstyle up.
Yeah.
He's getting in shape. He's learning a new language.
This
he's got
the same
a new tattoo.
I've always had.
This is
I have
classic.
Not got a new tattoo.
This is classic.
I will say this. We did while That's on vacation something. Talk about new tattoos.
Something going on.
Anyways.
Let's talk about money, though. Cash, as it were, because your university, Alex, just got gifted.
Big money.
A big, gigantic
yeah, it's awesome.
Stack of cash. David Booth, it was announced today, Pete Thamel, I think, broke the news, that David Booth is giving a $300 million donation to the University of Kansas, $75 million of which is already dedicated to wrapping up the stadium project, including the
phase
gateway
two. Yeah,
portion
phase two. Yeah.
Of it. Yeah, I guess not wrapping it up, but completing
Huge,
phase
though,
two of
because
it and a massive donation.
We know basically like 75% of the stadium has already been rebuilt. It's brand new. It looks beautiful. I can't wait to get there some point this fall out at to the booth. They'll open up against Fresno State actually a week from Saturday. That's crazy, right? A week from Saturday,
yeah,
they open
nuts.
Up. But at the same time, there was worry when they launched it that would they have the money to finish the project and would you be sitting there with stadium 25% not done for years and years and years. This ensures essentially that's likely not going to happen.
$300 million?
$300 million is unbelievable.
I think there's something bigger at play here.
Well, no, it is. If you read the release, so it's not just about helping with phase two. It is about ensuring essentially stability of the athletic department for years to come. We all know with the revenue sharing that's about to happen in collegiate sports and trying to keep up with everybody else in these Power Five conferences and make sure you have top-notch facilities, but also make sure you're competitive. This provides money for things to operate the athletic department down the road. It's an unbelievable gift. It's one of the largest gifts in collegiate athletic history. It's the largest gift in Kansas history. This is somebody that is already...
You just had an influx of cash. Are you going to be making your largest donation in Kansas history?
I will not. I will not. I wish I could. David Booth, $300 million for this. He's donated $300 million to like a University of Chicago business school. He's donated obviously money for the rules of basketball. $4 million or whatever it was he bought those years back. He's donated money for the help with a new business school. I mean, unbelievable amounts of money he has donated to the University of Kansas, and this is awesome. And I know, if you're not a KU alum, you may don't care as much, but you were going to bring up the bigger point, which is this is the position they need to be in financially and also with facilities that with realignment in collegiate sports, you need to make sure you have top-notch facilities.
Much like Drew's trying to make himself the best version of himself in his 30s, Kansas is absolutely, I think part of the big impetus behind these are you need to make yourself as attractive as a football program as you can in case the Big 12 goes belly up. And I'll just be honest with you. In the next 20 years, I don't think the Big 12 will exist. 20 years from now, I don't think there will be a Big 12. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I have no idea.
So, certainly didn't think the Pac-12 was going to fold up first, and I still think they got the leg up on the ACC, but there was definitely a time when the Pac-12 and the other conferences had a leg up on the Big 12, and they're still standing, and one of those conferences isn't. And so, I don't think 20 years from now the Big 12 is going to exist. And while it still is a smaller football stadium, to have the kind of... We know their basketball facilities are incredible. To have this put in place, I think, is a way of saying, hey, we promise we will take football seriously. If anything goes down and this gets weird and we're starting to do super conferences or we're thinking it's just the Big Ten and the SEC or it's just going to be three conferences, not the Power Four anymore, we'd like you to remember that we do have the facilities. Because up until this point, before they started doing these renovations, Kansas's football facilities were one of the worst in all of the Power Five. Like, they were bad, bad. I mean, their football facilities stunk. And so now to have a big, shiny new toy... And especially making sure it gets done because David Booth's got $300 million for you. I know all $300 million is not going to that. I'm sure it's getting spread out a lot of different ways. But because he's cutting a big fat check, you are in a better position than you've ever been to prove to teams you're taking football serious.
And the stadium alone, though, and if you wanted to keep Lance Leipold, and they've been able to, remember other programs have tried to poach him in the last year or so, this was part of the deal, right? Like you had to get the stadium project done. You had to have top-notch facilities so you can be competitive in recruiting and other things. So it was an awesome gift to see come through today. And I think, it positions them a lot better moving forward into the future, whether it is for realignment or for other things as well. Someone says, what does this guy do for a living? He can donate $300 million. Very successful investor. I believe he operates a firm that deals with billions of dollars or whatever. He's worth $2.8 billion.
Well, you guys are saying
$2.8 billion.
You guys were saying before the show, this isn't the only. He's
made a different $300 million donation to his grad school.
University of Chicago. I think it's now the University of Chicago, like Booth Business School. He's donated, as I said, to help start the KU Business School. I think $2 million. He donated in 2017 for some of the projects of renovations at football stadium as well. I think that helped. I don't know if that helped with the indoor facility or whatever it was, like $50 million. So yeah, I mean, I think all told that we publicly know about, it's between the schools, I think it's over $600 million easily.
And I mean, obviously, you guys have touched on it. It's not just great for the university, but also for, as it pertains to the football program directly with the upgrading of facilities and the new stadium and the field getting buzz and the new, and the uniforms. Like, and Lance Leipold being like, all of it is kids love the new facilities. They love the new jerseys. They want to be able to go to a place they feel comfortable in.
And they weren't
a place
keeping
that
up
looks
for a while.
Nice. Yeah. And now that KU's doing this, it's only going to enhance the guys that they can get, the guys that they get in the portal, whatever the case is, to try to keep the football program going in the direction that it has been.
Drew, you're probably better to answer this question. When this renovation is done, knowing that they've got some of the best basketball facilities, mostly because they've got a historic stadium, but also we know the dorm and all the other stuff.
They just renovated it.
The rest of their basketball stuff is kind of incredible. Will they have some of the best facilities in all the Big 12? I'm not talking Big Ten SEC right now. Yeah. I've seen some of those setups. They're nuts. So
yeah, they're not going to touch
like,
those.
But will they have some of the best in all of the Big 12 now?
Oh, for sure.
When this thing's done in a couple of years? That one of the biggest stadium. So. It's still a small football stadium.
Does that
matter?
It's only going to be low 40s, like 41, 42,000.
And Bill Snyder's like 50?
Yeah.
And Missouri's 60.
A lot of the Big 12 ones range from 40 to 65 or something like that.
Yeah, it's going to be a smaller stadium. That's, you know, if you're, that's been like the joke on the K-State fan side of it. That's been like their favorite thing to joke about.
Kansas fans say agricultural school and they joke about your Cracker Box size stadium. Is that what it is? Is that the back and forth between the two?
I don't even know if this is the agriculture stuff that people are making. It's more just the constant back and forth of rivalry stuff and one's big brother, one's little brother kind of thing going on. But,
well, unfortunately, little brother's going to beat big brother this year in football. Sorry to K-State fans.
You're saying Kansas is going to beat Kansas State.
Also, you said that
Do
backwards.
You know the last time that Kansas
Hold
beat
on,
Kansas
say,
State football?
Time ago. Say that again.
Little brother is going to
beat big brother. But he's saying Golden
State. No, but K-State is little brother.
In football,
in football, KU is little brother, if we're being real.
Yeah, I'm talking university-wise.
Oh, well, big brother's going to beat little brother then, if we're talking university-wise in football.
Gotcha.
Then. Sorry about it.
Gotcha.
KU is going to win for the first time since, what, 2008, the Sunflower Showdown?
It's been way too long. Also, I don't know if that's going to happen this year. K-State has the best chance of any of the locals to make it to the college football playoff.
When's the last time they beat them in Manhattan? Hasn't it been like, I'm not kidding, it's like Bush won or something? I mean, it's been a long time since they won Manhattan, right? Is it
Drew's
in
wearing
this
a
year?
Drew's wearing a KU shirt today.
That's because today's KU day. KU day.
I don't know if I like. I don't know if I like you. I don't know if I like you wearing podcast. A KU shirt after wearing an MU shirt like 2 weeks ago and K State the week. I don't know if I like you wearing a KU shirt. Carrington's mad at you wearing a KU shirt today as well.
Well, Carrington,
you got to pick an allegiance sometime, man. We got to narrow this thing down.
No, okay. So again, for those of you who want to watch, by the way, the podcast is on video. Now I wore
your college football.
Correct. I wore the lavender purple last week for K-State. Okay. Today I'm wearing the KU shirt. Next week is Missouri Day on the 249 miles of college football podcast. Mm-hmm. I will wear a Missouri shirt.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going along with the themes. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling. Look again. I every take I give you, I believe wholeheartedly. Kansas, I think, will beat K-State this year, and it'll be the reason K-State does not go to the Big 12 title game. I'm sorry, but that's what I think.
I hope you're right. But I hope you're right.
How much trash talk are you going to give if KU beats K-State?
It depends what kind of year is
who's
KU
he trash
having.
Talking to? He doesn't have any K-State friends.
So who's
who's he levying this trash talk on?
I don't know.
It also depends. It also depends the type of year KU's having. Is it for Kansas to get their fourth win or their like seventh win? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm pretty reasonable when it comes to this. Like the trash talk. If you beat a school and you only and it's the first time in a while, is a big deal. But if you ended up still only winning four games that year, then I don't think you should talk much bleep. You know what I mean? This goes back to our issue with Cincinnati sometimes, Drew. Like, you know, you beat Kansas City in a regular season game, but you didn't make the playoffs that year. I don't care. You know, it's the same kind of thing.
I think KU is going to have a good year.
I would love it.
I think there will be room for you to talk.
We'll see. I certainly think they're in the ballpark of 7-9 wins, but we'll see.
Little update on the Royals pitching this weekend, according to Jalen Thompson. They have decided Noah Cameron will start on Friday. Michael Lorenzen will return from the IL and start on Saturday. And then Ryan Berger, who's had two very good starts for the Royals, will start on Sunday, which means Q says Bailey Falter will head to the bullpen. No more starts for Bailey Falter.
Makes sense, actually.
You got Michael Lorenzen. I think you start him the rest of the way. Falter could still turn into a fifth starter for you. Hell, he could be Michael Lorenzen next year, hypothetically. But in that scenario, you keep Michael Lorenzen, the guy who gives you a better chance today as a starter in the rotation. Bailey Falter will head to the bullpen. He still.
You think he was faltering as a starter? Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Just checking. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Just making
a little
sure.
Too on the nose. I think everybody was waiting for that if he had a really bad start in his last one, but he didn't.
The first one he did.
Pretty bad in the first
one. Against Boston,
And he had a bit of a pitch control. Honestly, it's always the same thing. I'm interested to see if the stuff works better in the bullpen. Crank it up to 96, and let's see what you got. Maybe find out whether or not you need another starter, but nothing offensive.
Before we get to the trash of the day, we know yet again at Chiefs practice today, Hollywood Brown, as usual, not practicing.
No, I don't. Hunt.
That's not going to change until we get closer to the season. Kareem Hunt was the new addition to the injury report. Quad contusion. Okay, it's a bruise. Let's hope that's all. I mean, it's a fancy word for a bruise. Hopefully, it's just very minor. As we mentioned to start the show, Andy Reid kind of hinted at the fact that Mahomes, Kelsey, maybe some other
might be a big Carson Steele
not
going to
really
Rashard
play.
Smith day.
Starting offensive line, yes, because again, some offensive linemen just have to play. You only have so many; they're going to have to play. But the wide receivers and the offensive line unknown to a certain extent out there. Does that concern you for where they can get to across the entire season?
Typically over the last couple of years, before the season starts, I've convinced myself this Chiefs offense is going to be electric. Here we go. They're going to be an unstoppable force. Kingsley and Hollywood. And look, injuries derailed it pretty early on for the Chiefs, but like they still had Rashee Rice. And, you know, I didn't think Hollywood's had more than 600 or 700 yards last year. Between these still, I say, look, it's just still an unknown on the offensive line. We can be excited about Simmons all we want. There are no definitive answers there, or no definitive answers at left guard until we get there. And the wide receiver stuff. And I know Rashee Rice. I've just decided I'm just going to accept the 10th best offense this year. I've just settled in.
Hey, why are you throwing in the towel already?
I'm not throwing in the towel. I just said 10th best because I feel like I've hyped myself up like three times and I like the weapons, but like Hollywood's not practicing and I don't know, man. Is it too soon?
Yes,
I'm just
too
like settling into like, just be the 9th best offense.
Last week we had the back and forth about, hey, if their defense is like 7th and the offense is 10th, is that good enough to win a Super Bowl? And I said yes. I think you said no. So today you're saying you think you're basically...
I'm banking on the defense now, you know?
Interesting. Look, do I think the offense is going to end up being top 5? No, I don't think so, because Rice is going to miss 4+ games, we all think. And we're still waiting for that news, by the way, on a suspension.
It'll probably come today at like 1 o'clock.
I told you it should happen at 6 o'clock, right when the Taylor Swift New Heights episode drops. That way, that would be
smart of Raj.
We'll see. Without Rice for a significant period of time this year, I don't know how across the entire 18 weeks they can be a top 5 offense. Can they be a top 5 offense the back half of the schedule? I think there's a chance. If I had to predict the exact spot right this second that the offense in a points per game base is going to be,
finishes,
I would say they're 9th.
Okay, so you're in the same spot as
me. If I had to predict. But you're saying, like you're not even giving them any chance.
It feels like...
I think there is... like you're saying
that
it's...
I've set myself up... you know what this is? This is like, set my expectations lower and then happy to be pleasantly surprised this time. My problem is that it already feels like it's off to a kind of ominous start. And the offensive line, we just don't know. Like, that's not ominous in any way. If anything, it's trending up, right? Because you'd think, by all accounts, Simmons is kind of a dude. But we don't know that for sure until I watch him in a regular season game and we actually have to witness it. The wide receivers are off to an ominous start. And I'm worried we're up for 8 games of Xavier Worthy and Tyquan Thornton. And if it's that, well, then they're kind of the same as they were last year. It's Justin Watson and Xavier Worthy. Now, Worthy be certainly more polished than he was in the early part of last season. But if you remember, even when Worthy came around and got back to where he was, the offense still had a lot of the same problems, which is drive stalled out, no big plays. They cut everything close to the line of scrimmage. I'm just prepared to be bored by this offense again, too.
Really?
You know, where it's all 7 yards, 6 yards from the line.
This is where
I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah,
honestly,
this is where
I'm trying to like mentally prepare for that.
Yeah, look, I'm not saying from week one they're just going to go out there and in first 2 weeks of the season score 38 points a game and we're like, oh my gosh, here we go. I hope so as well. I just think the left tackle situation, and you're right that we don't have the definitive answer, but I think I know who the solution is, and I think they have the solution. To what extent is that player going to be immediately? We'll find out. But Josh Simmons is, to me, going to stabilize the left tackle spot for this offense. And what does that mean for Mahomes? I think it's a huge boost for him and the opportunities down the field. And the check down stuff, to me, a lot of that gets solved if he actually has trust, belief, and time from his starting left tackle instead of having a new left tackle 3 times in one season, which is what it was last year. It was Kingsley, it was Wanye, it was obviously Joe Tooney at the end of the season.
It was 4 or 5. By the time, I think it was like there was another weird one that started. I feel like it ended up being 4.
Well, obviously Kingsley week 1, Wanye. Then Wanye, and then Tooney. Who was
I thought there was a 4th.
Really?
Am I wrong? Maybe not.
He's had 5 in 5 Super Bowls. That's what you
mean.
He's definitely had five
Super Bowls. I was thinking there was one other guy who randomly got started over there. Maybe not.
They brought in Humphreys for one game.
There was another guy who started.
DJ Humphreys played 3 quarters, then got hurt, and we never saw him. And he's now in like LA with the Rams.
No wonder we couldn't remember
his
name.
DJ Humphreys, 3 quarters.
4 different starting left tackles last year.
That is why
that's why they didn't throw the ball of any kind of depth.
I think it was part of it. No.
Because the yards per target have gone down in like 3 or 4 consecutive.
In the Super Bowl, the offensive line got dominated and the routes, like there was no success in route running at all, or winning routes, I should say, or anything like that. But yeah, I think the offensive line is a huge part of the equation to fixing the offense being big play again.
Sure.
The rest, we're going to find out.
Trash of the day.
All right. Another Chuck E. Cheese one.
What? Yeah. After we talked about adult arcade Chuck E. Cheese.
Another Chuck E. Cheese one for you guys.
All right.
This one involves firefighters and a Chuck E. Cheese.
That's never a good start.
So this was in Burbank, California. Firefighters rescued a woman that was trapped inside a Chuck E. Cheese game. Like one of those actual games. So they arrived on the scene. There was a woman who had managed to get stuck inside one of the games called Snowy Day or Snow Day. I don't know. It's where a player enters a clear tube and places balls for points and tickets. The woman, though, placed her arm into...
Trying to cheat?
The hole not intended for body parts of the game.
What now?
Yeah.
Okay, so I need to look up this.
So they were stuck?
Her arm got stuck inside, like, the plastic tubing.
Oh, jeez. My God, man. That would be so
And so they had to call firefighters, I'm guessing, to, like, saw the tubing or whatever.
That would genuinely be one of the most embarrassing things that could happen to you.
You tried to cheat in a Chuck E. Cheese for your kid. Cody, imagine your kid won something in the claw machine.
Like a skee ball and a Chuck E. Cheese.
It wasn't the kid whose arm got stuck. It was
the adult.
The adult. Oh,
it said specifically.
Adult?
It said a woman, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not
I think
a child.
That's much worse.
There's a photo of it because obviously the firefighters weren't going to do it.
Uh-huh.
We're going to just show up. And yeah, you can see her. She's just sitting there. Oh, man.
Were they allowed to continue playing
how
games?
Long?
I think there's got to be a
follow-up. How long do you think
rats,
she
the headline
had to sit
says.
There? How long do you think she had to stand there?
The woman had to sit on her knees to even fit inside the capsule, which was designed for young children. The game is only supposed to last a few minutes, but the woman's attempt to cheat the system turned into what was supposed to be just a quick game into a nearly 1 hour incident after her arm became caught in the narrow tunnel not intended for body parts.
The game
was created for very young children. The video, there's video of this. Firefighters safely freeing the woman from the booth with other customers watching the rescue.
You ever cheated in an arcade game? You ever like have somebody throw a skee ball up there?
No, I don't think so because I don't even, most of, I don't know, like if you know, a lot of them were more the, like they weren't pop a shot. It was like the claw machine. I don't know how to cheat on that.
On the claw machine. Yeah. I mean, I guess
there's no way to do
stick your arm up through the prize thing.
Yeah. The only time I guess I tried, you know, the one where like you put quarters in and eventually you're trying to knock all the coins down.
Try to shake that machine.
Yeah.
Try to get a little wiggle.
Well, you know, that, by the way, that was one of my favorite, like everybody loved that game, right? Because you think you're so close to knocking all the, all the tokens or whatever, and you're not. It's obviously rigged. I swear that one's rigged.
I've never seen anybody win it.
Have you ever seen all the coins come flying down?
Nope.
Absolutely not.
Not once.
Nope.
Never seen all those tokens. They've got like essentially that version of like Vegas too. I've seen those, like, the adult version of that gold where you put in, like, cash and it, like, drops a thing. And it's
well, wasn't it Dave and Buster's that wants to do it the actual real money version?
Chuck E. Cheese has an adult-themed arcade here, but yes.
It's not open yet, though, right?
Dave and Buster want to do the cash one.
Dave and Buster's was the betting one, right?
Yeah,
they're building.
They're billing. I don't think it's open, is it?
I think it's just open, yeah.
The adult Chuck E. Cheese, whatever. What did they say they were going to call it again?
Chuck's Arcade, right?
Chuck's Arcade. That's right. That is right.
Chuck's Arcade.
Drew's going to be speaking French, going up to people and speaking in French at Chuck E. Cheese and Chuck's Arcade.
That would be really weird.
Oh, this has opened its first ever, so maybe it is open.
Oh, wow. Where is it? Like
Chuck's
Chicago
Arcade.
Or something? Or
Chuck's
like LA?
No, there's one here, man.
Oh.
There's one in Kansas City. There's a.
Should
we could go
a,
to
should
Chuck's
should
Arcade.
Should we do a Cody and Gold?
Let's go to Chuck's.
For your 30th birthday?
Drew, there you go. Your 30th at Chuck's.
Chuck's Arcade is open right now.
You
we could go to Chuck's Arcade till
9
p.m. They're not letting us stay, really.
Is Pasquale there? You can meet him.
It's by the Ward Parkway Mall. It's in the Ward Parkway Mall.
Hey, that would be hilarious, actually, to do it for my.
Really?
That is my 30th birthday.
Interesting.
It's not going to happen, though, but.
It's inside the mall.
Well, it's. I don't know. I don't know if it's in that, like.
Newer area.
Annexed area that's like kind of the side where there were some restaurants and stuff.
Okay.
Chuck's Arcade, man. It exists.
Well, let's go. Let's go.
You guys want to go out for Drew's 30th birthday? This has to be an unsanctioned event. Well,
yeah.
I know we said we do sanctioned event. This would have
let's
to just
to
be
Chuck's.
Like, we're casually telling you we're all going to be at Chuck's Arcade for Drew's 30th.
I'm down. Check it out.
What's your exact birthday?
October 21st. It is the start. Hang on. Did they have TVs with games on? Because it's also the start of the NBA season.
You can miss.
I mean, I'm sure they
one
do.
Of game 82.
I'm sure they got TVs. Yeah. Can I get like an unlimited
wristband? Because Dave and Buster's, they would have TVs, but you know, I think we might have to make this
looks
happen.
Looks like they got Halo and NFL Blitz. They got some like vintage games.
Ooh, NFL
too.
Blitz. NFL Let's Blitz. Go.
And some of the vintage animatronics.
Ah, it's the place that used to be Hertz Donuts.
Oh, I know exactly what it is, yeah.
If they don't have that pirate game, all right, let's do it. If they don't have that pirate October ship game with the wheel, then of the week I'm is disappointed. That?
October 21st. October 21st. It's like a Tuesday.
I think we go.
We go to Chuck's Arcade?
Why not? That is the trash of the day. Up next, Chiefs Red half hour.
Calendars now?
Yep, including
a detail calendar,
a teaser clip from the New Heights episode tonight, and Taylor Swift delivered quite the line. Next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red half hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Get back into some of the quarterbacks in the league after the top four. We won't get into a whole Mahomes Burrow. We said we've done that, or we won't do that until we get into the season and we see how these guys perform.
Despite the fact they had Mahomes and Joe Burrow tied for first.
1A and basically tied at first makes no sense. There's no 1A, 1B, but whatever. Coming up in 25 minutes, we'll hand things off to Vern. His on-deck show as the Royals send Seth Lugo to the bump, trying to get a sweep, boy, do they need it, of the Washington Nationals. The Nationals just, it sounds like they announced that Dylan Cruz tomorrow will be called back up. So luckily the Royals avoid Dylan Cruz. He's been on the IL since like May, one of the bright young stars in the league. Dealt with an oblique injury, so the Royals do not have to deal with that today. There's no reason they should not win this game and sweep. That bullpen of the Nationals is the worst in all of baseball.
I think Bobby's going to hit a homer. Royals are going to get a win, and we're going to feel good about ourselves.
I'll take it. I'm looking forward to going out there. Nice little day game. Sometimes when we have these shorter shows, we head out to the K. So be out there with a couple of friends. Should be nice just to hang out at Kauffman Stadium. Hopefully see a victory. We know tonight at 6 o'clock, New Heights, brand new episode. Of course, it's the episode that has Taylor Swift on. First time she's done a podcast. This has been something that people have been hoping would happen at some point. The two of the most popular people on planet Earth, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, obviously together, Jason Kelce.
Andy Reid said he's not going to watch it. He said he's old.
Yeah, he said his grandkids will be all about that or whatever. There's a lot of people listening that have daughters. There's a lot of people, because you're a Chiefs fan, that now you're a Taylor Swift fan, right? We've seen how it's grown the sport in the NFL. Mark Donovan has talked very openly about their biggest growth area is among female fans. It was already trending that way with the sport in general, but obviously Taylor Swift has brought in so many fans. So they did a teaser clip this morning.
The way that Jason Kelce does the big intros for everybody who comes on the show, right? He lists their accomplishments. You might remember the one for Wayne Gretzky because he got a lot of accomplishments.
So here's what it sounded like. And listen to the final line from Taylor Swift, because I know there's somebody out there right now that's fuming, and their blood pressure just went up because we mentioned Taylor Swift. This is for you.
Our guest today is a singer, songwriter, and producer and director from Nashville, Tennessee. That's bullshit. She is from Reading, Pennsylvania. She is the most awarded artist in the history of the American Music Awards, Billboard Music Awards, and iHeart Radio Music Awards.
God damn.
Just 14 Grammy Awards, and is the only artist in the history to win Album of the Year 4 times. Last December, she wrapped up the Eras Tour, which spanned 149 shows across 51 cities, 5 continents, and was the most attended tour of all time.
Of all time.
I'm still going. Hold on. Her last album, The Torture Poets Department, set a record with 1.76 billion streams globally within the first week alone.
All right.
In the first week?
And as a fan of that guy on the Chiefs, she has 19 wins, 2 AFC titles, and a Super Bowl. 92 presenters, are you ready for it? Making your podcasting debut, the most offensive guest in the history of shows, Taylor Swift!
Yeah, intro, Jason. Oh, my God.
I've seen this before.
No, look, his soul has left his body.
I'm cramping.
No, that was so good. Thank you.
I tried, Tay.
Thank you for screaming for like 47 seconds. That was so nice. That was so sweet.
Tay, welcome to New Heights.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on my favorite podcast. As we all know, you know, you guys have a lot of male sports fans that listen to your podcast. Yeah. And I think we all know that if there's one thing that male sports fans want to see in their spaces and on their screens, it's more of me.
Incredible line. That's for pretty that's good. For the Chads and Brads out there that are fuming and the blood pressure went
flex
up.
Flex a little bit with all of, with that laundry honestly, list of look, accomplishments.
Yeah. Well, she's a pretty goodness. Accomplished musical artist, it turns out.
Just a little bit.
That thing is still going to do absolute
100 million numbers. Podcast views. Don't you think? YouTube views, I don't know what to expect, but the actual podcast downloads going to be over 100 million. Don't
I really
you
only want two things out of it. I'd love a little peek inside of like how they've been getting along this entire time and Jason to kind of poke and prod at the relationship stuff. Cause that's interesting. Cause they've been together for so long, but are rightfully private because they kind of have to be. And then I'm curious to know her. I kind of want to know the football knowledge. Is that crazy?
No,
I want him to test Taylor's football knowledge a little bit. We know the album stuff and all that's going to be in there, but those are the two things I'm kind of interested in. I wanted to tell an Andy Reid story or something, you know? Give me a little behind the scenes.
Yeah. I mean, the GQ article gave a little bit of that insight with Travis. He's on the cover. I'm sure a lot of you are aware of that. It happened yesterday and talked about how like she's all about like even situational stuff in football. She's well aware of injury reports and everything like that. So, yeah, I'm sure they'll talk some football. I don't know. I wonder how long the interview is.
I don't know.
Or essentially interview because nobody in this episode is there to hear Travis Kelce talk. This one is. People are there to hear Taylor Swift talk.
I like that in all of the little preview stuff they've done. They've done nothing but use like little like oh matches our eyes or he called her Tay Tay or he called her and like you know like you can hear that they are people who know each other. Patrick Mahomes at the podium today, he said that Travis and Taylor FaceTimed Britney right after they recorded the episode.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Like kind of giving them like, hey, look what we're
happening.
Doing.
It's happening. Yeah.
And so like, it's obviously just kind of ingrained itself in the team at this point. It's just like, it's a regular part.
Yeah, and you know, she's going to be at Arrowhead this year. Again, I understand like, look,
I know people get.
People get upset. I don't know why. It's the same thing. It'll, you know, when they show her on TV, it's so silly why people get upset about that. I'll say this if you're in Kansas City, here's what I don't care. Like, I understand, I guess, to a certain small extent, if you're a Bills fan or something and you're just because you hate the Chiefs, okay? Yeah. But if you're in Kansas City, tell me why you don't think, one, it's just kind of fun and cool. Two, this is someone that now is part of Kansas City. Not only is she dating the best tight end in Chiefs history and maybe the best tight end in NFL history, but we all know when we've had some tragedy here in town over the last couple of years, she donated money to help support some of these families that have gone through some terrible things. She's made appearances at Children's Mercy. She's made herself part of this community as well.
They bought a house here.
So, you know, that's what I don't get. Like, if you're in Kansas City, I do not know why you don't think this is not a great thing for this city.
Yeah.
And
it raises the profile of the city, which is good.
100%. It does. 100% does. And I'll be curious to watch tonight, too, because that one line she gave, like, we don't hear many interviews first. So her personality, like, we obviously know how talented she is. But personality-wise, I don't think we know a ton. Like, from
in her adult life, she's done way less. Like, when she was younger, she used to do the regular interview circuit in the TV market and the other stuff. Hell, I think she's been in this building doing, like, FM stuff when she was, like, in the early part of her career. But since she has got this level of popular, she's not an easy person to put on a show. She's not an easy person to get in an interview.
Did you see the funny tweet yesterday? So multiple social media departments are trying to take advantage of the fact that, you know, there was Taylor Swift news with the new album yesterday. And so I think it was the Carolina Hurricanes hockey team. They put out a tweet, and it was a screenshot of an email from a vice president within the Carolina Hurricanes organization. And it was like to their social media director. And it said, hey, have we ever tried to collaborate with Taylor Swift? It seems like that'd be a great idea. And it's a it's a hilarious tweet.
Oh, no.
No, nobody's ever thought of that before. Thank you.
Seems like it'd be a good fit. Yeah, probably.
And her billions of fans. Yeah.
That'd be like you and I. That's almost as bad as you and I saying like, hey, have we considered trying to get Taylor Swift on our show? I think that'd be good for ratings. You're like, well, I mean, yeah. It would be good for ratings if you and I could get Taylor Swift on the show.
Yeah, hey, Dusty and Bob, you guys did Kelce Day last week. Did you guys ever think of trying to get Taylor on your show day?
I've genuinely considered if I could just get someone in a slip of language in the sense that they're confused and they respond is, what we should do is send Drew to the tunnel for every game she goes to for the Chiefs game this year. And he stands in the tunnel and then he just yells the same question until we get it. Be like, hey, what do you think about Cody and Gold? And then I just need her to say, Who's Cody and Golden? Perfect. Done. It's all I need, Drew. I don't need her to know. I don't need her to say anything other than who is Cody and Gold? Perfect. Nailed it. Solve.
Oh, man.
What?
Oh,
Cody and Gold?
My goodness.
Done. Perfect.
Can you imagine if she's like,
I'm not sure who Cody and Gold is.
Like, mind blown.
Also, fine. You yelling that, and then that, her being confused about you asking about it is enough of a drop to live in this show's history forever. You know?
Someone says, you guys ever think about getting the Pope on the air? Yeah, you know, just never tried. Never tried.
He's also a Sox fan, right?
He's a Chicago sports fan.
Out in Chicago to see
White yeah. Sox fan.
He
That's
is a
crazy.
Big White Sox fan.
Somebody
so.
Said that she's a big reason why people hate Kansas City, but we've said this before. Being a villain in the NFL is, as someone who is, for the first time ever in the Mahomes era, on that side, being the villain's fine.
No, you have to embrace
being
it.
Being a villain,
you have
who
to embrace
cares?
It. I was watching. So there's a lot of things happening this week for the Chiefs. Yeah, you had Travis Kelce GQ cover tonight. We've got the New Heights episode with Taylor Swift coming out tomorrow. Kingdom, the Chiefs documentary. The first two episodes are out on ESPN. Then it's on Disney Plus. I sent you guys the link. I've watched two of the episodes already of Kingdom. And one of the things in one of the episodes that's mentioned is like when people start hating you, that's when you've really arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Chiefs organization has arrived over the last couple of years because people hate them. And yes, there are people out there that can't stand that the most popular woman on the planet is a Chiefs fan now. That has caused people to hate. I'm just saying, in Kansas City, I don't know why you wouldn't think this is a great thing for the city. It's cool, honestly. It's pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's fun just to talk about. And yes, it to me, when she's in a suite
like
at Arrowhead.
Travis click
when
his heels in the middle of a stage performance.
When
you know?
She's in a suite at Arrowhead, that's pretty freaking awesome. That she's in Kansas City. There's we all know, like in terms of markets, it's not the biggest NFL market. And because her boyfriend is on the Chiefs, she's now a massive Chiefs fan. It's not phony or anything like that.
It's very cool. It really is. I'll watch anyway. It tonight.
Yeah,
we'll give you a little quick review tomorrow
yep.
to go with it. We were talking earlier in the show about Mike Sando. He put out his quarterback tiers list over at The Athletic. And we've agreed not, for any portion of this conversation, to make it about the top four guys.
Okay.
I'm not even going to get into the argument about that Burrow and Mahomes are 1A and 1B, and the other two guys are in tier one, but are listed as 3, 4, 5. It's fine. I don't want to get into that part. We kind of got into that yesterday a little bit, so there's no point. What I think my biggest takeaway from this list, because again, he has 50 people, and it's current head coaches, current NFL scouts, current general managers. It is the people who matter in the NFL, the people who make decisions. What ended up becoming so stunning to me is we have what I think is one of the worst imbalances of quarterbacks we've had in a very long time, because the middle class, while deep, is not, the tier one is far too thin. And the tier two, not an ever-beating tier two. The NFL feels like it is full of tier three quarterbacks right now, is what I feel like. It's just everyone who is the Trevor Lawrences of the world. It's just a makeup of mediocrity to a sense that I haven't seen, I feel like, in a long time in the NFL, where there's a wide gap.
There
between
is,
the first five and everyone else.
There is, but like Mike Sando, when he tiered this out, I think he needs to truncate tier two and expand tier three, and then tier five
to
should not
point,
tier five should not just be Kenny Pickett. so like for example, tier we
you
all know
put
that,
Kirk Cousins in tier five.
Yeah,
who
like,
is in
like, tier two should not be, I think there's like 11 quarterbacks in tier two. It should not be that. It should be like Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, Jared Goff. You know, Matthew Stafford, they have in tier one, but put him in tier two, then stop tier two. Then tier three to me is Baker Mayfield, Trevor Lawrence. And now you'll say, well, Baker's better than Trevor. Sure. Just because someone's in the same tier does not mean there's not still gaps within a tier, right?
We're not
gonna,
oh, tier, yeah.
We're not going to have 20 numbers. Tiers. You know what I mean? Like,
otherwise, I should just rank them 1 through 32.
Correct. So
yeah.
I just think in his list, I would have had tier two only have like 3 quarterbacks or 4 quarterbacks. And then I would have had a pretty large tier three. Tier four would have been basically Russell Wilson, essentially, and like one or two other vets. And then tier five would be Richardson, Jones, Kenny Pickett, et cetera.
Yeah, that would be the final list, tier four or whatever. That'd just be the guys who, like, you actively do not want to be a starter for your NFL team. And that does include guys like Anthony Richardson. But tier three is kind of, it is the largest tier three in the entire time I've watched the NFL. Everyone feels like they're stuck. paying, and everyone's paying their quarterbacks. That's what's crazy. Everyone's stuck paying their Trevor Lawrence quarterback $200 million, paying Brock Purdy $200 million, $300 million, $400 million for incredibly mediocre play, because that's where everyone in the NFL is. That's why I think the consistency at the top guys, the Mahomes, the Jacksons, the Allens, these guys, that's why it's easier than ever for them to perform consistently. And why, like, for, I'm only bringing it up for this, why we've been a little more critical of Burrow's inability to stay at that top, because you guys have an advantage. The teams who are paying big time money to big time quarterbacks right now should have a massive advantage, because tier two is thin and tier three is the rest of the NFL, and they keep paying those guys.
Except, yes, I agree with that. Like, except, to, except you would say
Purdy, those guys,
except yeah. right, except right this
They've
second when,
paid.
Yes, except right this second, like if you're Stroud in the Texans or you're Jaden Daniels in the
yeah,
Commanders,
you get the advantage.
You are
of the
still
team.
On
yeah.
the rookie deal. I think Stroud's, this is probably the last year. He'll be due for a big mm-hmm. payday, if he, especially if he has a nice year.
And if he just has a regular year like he did
still
last year,
get paid.
He'll be a tier three guy. He'll get $200, $300 million, the same as these other guys.
Yeah, and I know it's 1 year for Jaden Daniels, and so he could have a drop off. We'll all find out this year. But yeah, if you're the Commanders, you got to take advantage of the fact that he's on a rookie contract. There's some urgency there to do it. And I'm sure the Texans feel that way with Stroud, although they've just dealt with some really pitiful offensive line play. And then the Tank Dell injury, just extremely unfortunate. That was brutal.
I think the whole quarterback situation too is interesting. Like Cody, you brought up there, it's just the way that it is, but there haven't been, like, this upcoming quarterback class, we say this every year, it feels like, but this year in particular, it feels like there's four or five, six guys, maybe even, who have first round caliber talent that could get drafted. Where if you look even in years, like in the year that Burrow, Tua, and Herbert were picked, like Herbert's fine, but he's been paid. Tua's been paid, but they have Tua where at 18 or 19 on this list. Like mm-hmm. even though guys are considered top tier guys coming out of the draft, they're not hitting at the rate where
it's just a bunch of Derek Carrs.
Yeah, there's not more top heavy guy. There's nobody that's really jumping into that top tier. Maybe Jaden Daniels, we'll have to see, or Caleb Williams, we'll have to see, but it feels like they're just by default yeah. of the amount of quarterbacks coming out into the draft, you're going to have more tier three and tier four quarterbacks than you will tier two or tier one.
Let me get your answer again. Who's the name of the five or seven quarterbacks? Caleb Williams, Michael Penix, JJ McCarthy. I'll put Trevor Lawrence in this group as well. Those four or five guys that has the biggest chance this time next year for us to be saying, wow, they might be tier two. They might be one of those really special guys. It's tough because based off of last year, people think you're crazy to say Caleb Williams, but based on the situation with
an
offensive mind
this year,
I think Caleb mm-hmm. Williams has a chance to elevate how most people view him drastically. McCarthy, we know they elevated Sam Darnold. So you're like, hey, if Kevin O'Connell can elevate Sam Darnold, why can't JJ McCarthy do it? It's just, he's basically a rookie this year. That's what's tricky. We saw him play one preseason game last year, and I'm just very skeptical on McCarthy. I love Kevin O'Connell and what they have there. I just don't know. We haven't seen much of him, and in college he didn't look like the explosive quarterback with making big play after big play. That's not what they asked him to do.
I just think he's in the single best situation.
Yes,
best weapons, best situation, best coach to get the most out of him. That's all. That's why I feel like he could have that C.J. Stroud rookie year or like slightly below that, and people would be ready to put him in tier two. Because they put C.J. Stroud in tier two after 1 year. They put Jaden Daniels in tier two after year one. Put up some good numbers in year one.
Hey,
and
do you want to hear me say up next is Vern's On Deck Show in French?
Yes.
In just a second.
Okay, hold on.
Coming up tomorrow, though, we are going to talk about the Kingdom Chiefs documentary. It comes out tomorrow. Someone was asking, how have we seen it? They sent media some screeners so we can talk about it ahead of time, and we will tomorrow on the show. Two episodes out tomorrow. We will discuss those, plus obviously what happens tonight on New Heights. We'll have Josh Werner join us, but that's going to do it for us today.
À suivre, l'émission On Deck de Vern.